Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire. And this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. Since as Christians, we are identified as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, it would seem that both for our own sake and as an example to others, we should always be clothing ourselves with the attributes of that identity, what we might call the wardrobe of the resurrection. That's the subject and the title of today's message, which is based on Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 17. In her wonderful collection of devotional essays, which is entitled Jesus in Blue Jeans, Lori Beth Jones tells the story of a dead duck. Specifically, all about the death of her pet duck named Harriet. Now, I know what you're thinking. This doesn't really sound like the stuff of great spiritual inspiration. But bear with me here. This is actually a great story. It seems that Lori Beth Jones, at the age of 10 years old, had come home from school one day to discover not only that Harriet had died, but that she had actually drowned in her family's backyard pool. She writes, "My parents were as saddened and as baffled by her death as I was, so they summoned our vet to the scene. And sure enough, upon closer examination, the vet was able to determine the cause of death. And what it was, get this, was the lack of proper grooming." That's right, the lack of proper grooming. Seriously, as the veterinarian explained it, ducks actually need to coat themselves with a special waterproofing oil that is produced beneath their wings. In fact, and here's a little bit of trivia. The only way that ducks stay buoyant in the water is if they are constantly spreading this oil all over their feathers. For some reason, Harriet hadn't been attentive to that essential grooming. Quote, "So when she started swimming, her feathers took on water and she sank like a stone." Now, let me just interject here that, and admit to you that when I was first reading this, I was thinking, well, that's just unpleasant. Certainly, it is not the kind of thing that any of us want to think about, much less hear a preacher talk about on a Sunday morning. But then I got to thinking about those verses that Chris just read to us. That very warm and familiar call to clothe ourselves with compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience, and above all, love. How we are to be letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. All of which is wonderful. And I think all of which we'd agree is very important, if not essential, attributes of the Christian life. But here's the question. What happens when we don't clothe ourselves in those virtues? What happens when, like Harriet the duck, for whatever reason, you and I choose not to groom ourselves in that fashion? Well, suffice to say, there's a parable to be found in the story of that dead duck. And that after a fashion, it goes hand in hand, or perhaps more accurately, wing in wing, with our text for this morning. Let's look at that text. Now, first of all, it's important to point out here that what we read here today, which are words, by the way, that you no doubt recognize, and words that are read at a great many marriage ceremonies, but they are actually part of a larger exhortation by Paul about the necessity of putting aside old and earthly ways. Things like, for instance, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. calling us instead to be seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. Now, we edited that out for the interest of focus and a little bit of time, but I also got to say that little paragraph in between what where Chris began and where Chris ended up, none of that particular piece sounds particularly uplifting at your average wedding ceremony. But it is, I think, a strong admonition for believers to do whatever it takes to strip off the old self, take off all the old sinful, hurtful, harmful, destructive practices in favor of, Paul says, the new self, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. This is to happen in the same manner that one might cast off raggedy, outmoded, and ill-fitting clothing for the sake of a brand new wardrobe where Christ is all and in all. And that's where we pick up the reading today, in which Paul, having said the things that you need to get rid of, presents us with a new set of spiritual clothing, a wardrobe of the resurrection, if you will. A wardrobe that is meant to be filled with the true garments of our Christian faith, the virtues of compassion and kindness, forgiveness and love, that are the spiritual indicators of just exactly who we are, and perhaps even more importantly, to whom we belong. These qualities represent the outward and visible signs to the world of what we believe, most certainly. But even more so, they serve as inner reminders of the new life that we're now called to live. Lori Beth Joan alludes to this in that story of Harriet the Duck. She writes, just as ducks depend upon that unique oil that allows them to be in yet not of the water, we too need to cover ourselves with a grooming oil in order to be in, but not of the world. We need, Jones says, to be daily covering ourselves with prayer, praise, and poised reminders of who we are to God and who we are in God. You know what strikes me about this particular text is that unlike some of the verses in Scripture that we wrestle with every nuance and every phrase and every word, this one really isn't all that complicated, is it? If we as people of faith are to be identified as God's chosen ones, living the resurrection life, then both for our own sake and as an example for others, we need to be clothing ourselves with that which befits that life. This is how the Message translates it. We are to be wearing the wardrobe that God has picked out for us. Once again, things like compassion and kindness and humility and quiet strength, discipline, these are your basic all-purpose garments. The kind of spiritual fashion that if you were to look for a label sewn somewhere on that one particular piece of clothing, it would simply read, Jesus Christ. But you see, here's the thing, friends. In order for us to be seen or identified in such a fashion, and yes, that pun was intended, it would stand to reason that we should actually be wearing those new clothes. In other words, if we're not wrapped up in the virtues that come to us by the grace of God in the risen Christ, if in fact we are not choosing to be protected with all of what God gives us as his chosen ones, holy and beloved, if we are neglectful of the grooming we are called to undertake, then spiritually speaking, at least, the truth of it is that much like Harriet the Duck, you and I are likely to be sunk. Now, having said that, I also know, that there's plenty of other clothing out there that we can wear. There is a huge wardrobe of worldly ways and means and culture that are ever and always enticing us to take them off the rack and wear them as our own. These are the kind of attributes that will inevitably end up defining us in one way or another. Though the truth of it is, they will not always define us positively. Actually, you know, I'm reminded here of the show Survivor. You know, Lisa and I have been watching that show pretty much since it began, back in 2000, I think. And you know, it's changed over the years. In fact, in the pandemic, we actually sort of binge-watched all the old episodes, and what we discovered is what we kind of realized anyway, is that when Survivor started out, it was all about people surviving alone together on a deserted island. And, you know, and the biggest thing about it, the grossest thing about it, is they had to eat bugs for reward and for immunity, but also rewards. And by the way, the rewards in those days was a bag of Doritos, not like today. But now, it has changed, this game, if you watch Survivor at all. It's become this massive game in which, from the very start, from day one, the contestants all actively lie, cheat, steal, scheme, and manipulate one another, all for the sake of winning $1 million. And as a result, some of these survivors who have come into the game as generally good people, generally kind people, end up becoming not particularly likable people. And yet, here's the thing. Every season, without fail, we've already heard it this season, there's one of them who says in one of those private confessionals they do with the producers, and by the way, this is always spoken with a profound tone of regret in their voice, "This isn't who I really am. This is just who I am for the game of Survivor. This isn't who I really am." I mean, we could just as easily say, "This isn't who I really am. This is just who I am at work. This isn't who I really am. This is who I am when I'm out with our friends. This isn't who I really am. This is who I am in places or in situations where it's kind of expected of me to act in a certain way. This is how I am if I'm looking to be accepted or loved by those around me. These are the clothes I have to wear if I'm ever going to measure up in the eyes of the world." Now, I don't want to put too fine of a point on it, but I would suggest to you that this is what happens when the entire focus of our life and living becomes wearing these garments of the world, or at least when we are wearing whatever the fashion happens to be in any given moment. Which is all well and good, except for the fact it doesn't work. For as much as we seek to try to cover ourselves up for the sake of approval or affection or advantage or avarice, eventually, sooner or later, inevitably, our true selves are going to be revealed. And sooner or later, the tribe will have spoken and we will find ourselves out of the running for anything that's truly meaningful or purposeful or faithful in life. But what Paul says to the Christians who live in Colossae, the Colossians, so he says to you and to me, that by wearing the clothing that befits those whose lives have been revealed in Jesus Christ, in wrapping ourselves in those garments, the true qualities of the resurrected life, this is what is going to make our lives perennially fresh and new. This is what will reveal our true selves so that we might become a witness to something beyond ourselves. we become, so to speak, trendsetters of the fashion statement that God intends for all of his children, the ones that are meant to be holy and beloved. We become the trendsetters for what God intends for his entire creation. And you see, in the process, we become the embodiment of a different kind of culture. A culture girded by a deeper sense of morality. A culture that exists with a higher standard of ethical behavior. A standard that is far beyond what the world and its leadership embraces as normal or mainstream. Because as we wear the clothing that we've been given, most especially, and Paul is very specific about this, most especially the garment of love that binds everything together in perfect harmony, we in turn testify to the presence and power of the living Christ in our hearts and in our lives. It's important to understand, however, that wearing this wardrobe of the resurrection is nothing that should be taken lightly. Not only does it require from us a committed fashion sense, so to speak, it also takes some depth of faith as well. In other words, it should never be said of you or of me that we have lived a life of nominal Christianity, that we have let our faith become just something that we have to do on the bare minimum. The Reverend Richard Halverson, who was one time chaplain of the United States Senate, most prominently in the 80s and into the 90s, he explained this very well when he famously said that the problem with Christianity in America today is that so much of it is, quote, 3,000 miles wide and 1/16th of an inch deep. Indeed, if we are truly to live unto our true selves, our faith is just going to have to be evident more than at merely a surface level. We are going to have to, as Paul goes on to say to the Colossians and to us, we're going to have to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We are going to need to let the word of Christ dwell in us and dwell in us richly. We are going to have to set ourselves to living life with gratitude in our hearts, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God, understanding that this, what I'm saying here, amounts to more than just greeting card sentiment. But in fact, it is the hardcore challenge of fully embodying our faith in the risen Christ, so that whatever we do in word or in deed, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, Paul's words. Identifying ourselves as Christian, being born in Christ, living in Christ, and wearing the wardrobe of the risen Christ, that is the deep and radical faith to which we are called. And believe me, that goes far deeper than a 1/16th of an inch. But you see, the question before us, the question that's always before us, friends, is, are we willing to go there? How far are we willing to go for the sake of the risen Christ in the world? Are we willing to go beyond the surface obsessions of the world's culture? Are we willing to let go of some of our own self-centeredness, some of our own need for control? Are we willing to go so far as to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly? And not only that, to let it shine from us and to let it speak to and for our behavior and to do so boldly and brightly. Are we willing in our lives, friends, to go to that place where the peace of Christ will rule and where love will and does bind everything together? Now, I'll grant you this. Given the world as it is, given the problems you and I all face on a daily basis, even for the most spiritually minded among us, this is a challenge. But it does seem to me, as I think it meant to Paul, that clothing ourselves with a wardrobe of the resurrection will not only be that which will save us from sinking like a stone, it might just also change the world. For you see, as it changes us for the better, it changes the world for the better. And it changes it for the sake of Jesus Christ. The good news is that each one of us here, all of you, myself as well, each one of us are even now being empowered and sent forth to live in such a way that that new life of Jesus Christ within us becomes new life for all of those around us. When we clothe ourselves with that kind of love, that is the love of Jesus Christ, the love that does bind everything in the world in perfect harmony, our true selves will be revealed with Jesus Christ in glory. And friends, that's going to happen whether it's at home or at work. It's going to happen with our family. It's going to happen when we are together with our friends. It happens when we are standing with those in need. It happens when we are standing up for the causes that we know are important. We will be clothed, you see, in the garments of Christ Jesus, and it will give us strength and vision and purpose, both for the living of these days, hey, for the facing of this very hour, but it also will help us in preparation for his kingdom to come in its fullness. So what else is there really to say? What else is there left to do except to get dressed already? Let's get dressed. And then let's get to work. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled Wardrobe of the Resurrection. It was recorded during our April the 14th service of worship at East Congregational Church, where, by the way, we would love to have you join us in person for worship. It happens every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is just off exit 16 of I-93 in beautiful Concord, New Hampshire. I would love the chance to welcome you to our worship, and I do know you'll be glad you came. For now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As always, I thank you for listening today, and until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.